Job chapter 10, and we'll start with verse 1. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto you that you should oppress, that you should despise the work of your hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Have you eyes of flesh, or see you as a man sees? Are your days as the days of man? Are your years as man's days? That you inquire after my iniquity and search after my sin? You know that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver me, there is none that can deliver out of your hand. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. We ask for your strength and your just guidance in this message, that what you want me to say, I'll say. Forgive us where we failed you. In Jesus' name, amen. It is often difficult when you're dealing with a book like Job to break it down in points. And, you know, I was able to, but it's not easy sometimes, because he's talking about so much different things and how much he's suffering. But I did notice through this that, again, which is, of course, why the book was written, right? We can learn from what is said. So, at this point, Job has seen a life of trials. We've seen it. We've seen his family die, his health go to waste, and now he's hurting, and he's sad, and on top of that, now his friends are accusing him. Two of them have already spoken, have accused him of doing wrong, and that being the reason that he was suffering. We know that's not the case. And Job is pretty confident too that that's not the case. But what Job doesn't know is why all this is going on. Well, in chapter 9, Job talked to his friends. And he addressed what Bildad the Shuhite had to say. Now Job turns from talking to his friends and he starts talking to God. And Job has some questions. Here in verse 2, Job asks, I will say unto God, do not condemn me, show me wherefore you contend with me. He says, why? What's going on? Why am I being punished? Now, we know that Job's not being punished. You know, as Job asks God, why are you fighting against me? We know that God is not fighting against Job, don't we? But Job doesn't know that. To Job, this pain, as far as he knows, was coming directly from the hand of God. Now, we know it was not, because we have read behind the scenes. But remember, Job doesn't have that opportunity. Job didn't have the behind the scenes look that we have. No, Job was not being punished. However, God was doing something to Job. Say, well, brother, you just said that he wasn't directly hurting Job. This wasn't coming from God. You're right. That was coming from the devil, because God allowed the devil to do it. But God was doing something to Job. He was testing Job. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 12 through 14, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." So what's he saying? He's saying if you are tried, if you come into a trial, rejoice. It's not always easy to do, is it? It isn't. What he's saying is God will get glory from your trial. And now look forward to how many of us know how Job ends. God gets glory. And Job is rewarded. Now, the rewards that we get after succeeding in a trial are not always physical. Sometimes they're going to be in heaven when we get there waiting for it. But the truth is, every single trial, when passed successfully, gives God glory and us rewards of some kind. Every single trial that we pass successfully, if we know Jesus Christ. So we call them tests. And the first thing that might come to somebody's mind is, why is God testing me? He knows how I will react. He's God. He knows. Yes, he does. But there's two reasons he'll test you. Well, I better not say that. God can test me for whatever he wants to do. But I'll tell you two things that I observe. And the first one is that when God tests us, we get stronger. We get stronger. We go through something small that seems big to us. Once we are at the other end, it may not seem as big to us anymore. The second thing that I see when we successfully pass a trial is that God gets glorified. So trials can help us and glorify God.
And I will be honest, Job is going through a trial right now, or in this passage. Let's look at verse 3. He asks, "Is it good unto you that you should oppress, that you should despise the work of your hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked?" I was reading the New American Commentary, and this is what the writer had to say. If Job had known Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If Job had known this verse, he would have thrown it into God's face because it appeared to him that God delighted in oppressing rather than blessing. Job thought of himself as the work of your hands, the work of God's hands. And in verses 8 through 12, we're going to see that he is going to elaborate on the fact that he is the work of divine, mysterious craftsmanship of God. Job couldn't figure out what God was doing. And what
we go through that we do not understand can and often does confuse us.
You ever have something happen and you're just kind of frozen and go, why? I don't see. How did I get to this point? I'm sure Job was there. Job was like, why? How did I get to this point? I'll be honest, when we go through these things as servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, we may not see Romans 8:28 at work. But it is a promise for God's people. It is a promise. And I'm telling you guys, it's one promise I know of that is to everybody that knows Christ, who loves Him. And I want to tell you something else. It's one of the promises that we better be holding on to every day of our lives and holding on tight. And trusting that God knows what He's doing. Because in this world, there are very few people that do know what they're doing. Oh, God saw the innocence of Job. God saw more than other men. And Job knew that. That's possibly why Job said, "Do you have eyes of flesh? Do you see as other men see?" Job knew the answer was no. Then you get to verse 5 and 6 where it says, "Are your days like the days of man? Are your years as man's days? That you inquire after my iniquity and searches after my sin?" And what Job is asking there is your time so limited that you have to torture me to get some kind of confession? Because that's how Job was feeling right now, that he was being tortured so that he could confess that he was guilty to something. And he asked God, "Is this what you're doing?" Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a strong question, isn't it? And God had a lot of patience with Job, didn't He? But I'll tell you this. It's good to read that here because of one thing. Maybe more, but I can think of one. We all go through very hard times that sometimes we want to ask God, "What's going on? Why?" And if we ask in respect, I don't know that that's a question that God's going to strike us down for asking. He knows we're human, and sometimes we need to talk things out, and He would very much like to hear from us. So, hey, talk it out with God. Just like the song says, have a little talk with Jesus from time to time. I mean, there's always the chance that that's why He's got us here anyway. Maybe we haven't been talking to Him as much as we should. There's always that chance. And then again, there's always the chance that it could just be a trial, a test. Verse 7, he says, "You know I'm not wicked." Job knew his innocence, and he knew God knew his innocence. He couldn't figure out why his life was the way it was here. But there is one thing he knew. He knew that whatever God was doing, there was no rescue. God would always have His way. And it is true that no one can escape the punishment of God or the hardship of God. And I want to tell you something. Job wasn't doing anything wrong, but I want to tell you something. I want to use this time when Job said there is no escape, there is no rescue from what God does to a person. I want to tell you something. That ought to make us think very, very much and very, very hard when it comes to disobeying what God has to say. Because if we're God's child and we're living like the devil, God's
God will make sure that that gets taken care of, one way or another. And there is no escape from God. Well, a lot of people escape the judgment of authorities, be it parents or police or, I don't know, there's all sorts of FBI, whatever out there that a lot of it, you can escape from them. Some people are really good at it. But you can't escape God. You can't.
And I remember the series I preached on, the series I preached on hidden sin. And I'm thinking, you can't hide from God. And you can't escape God. And even when we are tried, God has the ultimate control of how long and how hard that trial will be.
So hang on to God. Get as close as you can to the one who's got his hand on the switch. There was an illustration I heard back in the day when they would often discipline children with a switch. Some of y'all remember that switch. That some of y'all had to get it off the tree yourself. If you got the wrong one, you'd get it work. But there was an illustration given me. He says, you know, the guy said, used to, whether it was a belt or a switch or whatever it was, I'd get as far away from it as I could. And man, that hurt. Because when you get as far away from it as you could, the dude doing it had more leverage. He could, you know. He said, but what I learned is if I got as close to that person as I can, they didn't have much room. They couldn't do much damage. Folks, we need to be getting as close to God as we possibly can. Because the farther we get away from it, the more we will get hurt. And listen, I'm talking about our tests that we go through. I'm talking about the hardships that we go through. And I'm talking about discipline too, but it's not just discipline. When God deals with us for whatever reason, the closer we get to God, the easier it will be to deal with it. Make no mistake, we can't escape it. But we can get close to the one doing it and make things a whole lot better for ourselves. Then we see verse 8. Job starts talking about how God, God, you made me. Verse 8 says, your hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet you do destroy me. Job couldn't figure this out. He says, you made me. Why are you doing this to me? You formed me. And in a few verses as we read, we're going to see Job says, you took great care to fashion me. You can't figure out why God is doing this. But let's be honest. If God made us, he can do whatever he wants to with us, can't he? So that's a terrible, cruel thing to say. No. It's not, because we have to remember that no matter how things look on the outside, we serve a loving God who wants the best for us. And I know there's people that don't believe that. I know there's people that might be thinking right now, they might be thinking, yeah, God wants the best for me, but I'm suffering like crazy. But I'm telling you, we as human beings do not see the whole picture. Just like Job did not see the whole picture. Verse 9.
remember, I beseech you, or he says, I'm begging you, Lord, remember that you made me as the clay. Will you bring me into dust again? Have you not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? You know, it takes some time to curdle cheese. You don't just pour it and stick it in the microwave. It takes time to make cheese. And what Job is saying here is, God, you took the time to make me. I am unique. Excuse me. Verse 11, you have clothed me with skin and flesh, and have fenced me with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and favor, and your visitation has preserved my spirit. And these things have you hid in your heart. I know that this is with you. See, he recognized his blessings came from God. He recognized also that God made him and put a whole lot of work into him. But he can't figure it out. He says, I can't figure it out. Why? Why are you doing this? Job isn't the only one that has wondered why God is doing things. Or why God is allowing things to happen. Job isn't the only one that wonders that. I would wager, if I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I would bet that every single one of us either has asked that question or will ask that question, and I would win the bet. I would win the bet. Because it's a very common question. Why? Why is this happening to me? Well, folks, it wasn't for Job to know why. For whatever reason, God didn't tell Job why, nor did God ask Job's permission. He's not going to ask ours either. He may not tell us why. We may or may not find out on this side of eternity. But I want to tell you something. If we know Jesus Christ, isn't it great that one day when we get to heaven, we can find out the reason? Isn't it? Oh, and by the way, if we successfully deal with our trials, and sometimes, folks, our trials end in death, I'll be honest. But oh, the rewards that will await us for a completed trial. I can almost imagine somebody going to God and going, God, why? Why did you allow this to happen to me? And God just points over to the crowns or whatever reward that God has for that person. He says, I did that so I could say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Here's your reward. Welcome home. I had a manager one time that, man, they gave me a hard time. I couldn't figure it out until I finally figured out what he was trying to do. He was trying to make me grow. That's what God is doing to us and for us. He is trying to make us grow. Job loved God. Make no mistake. Job is suffering. Job is talking to God, but Job doesn't hate God here. As a matter of fact, God's the only one Job can turn to at this point. Even his friends have thrown in the towel on him. So yeah, Job's confused. And we see that in verse 14. He says, if I sin, then you mark me, and you will not acquit me from my iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be righteous, If I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore, he tells God, therefore see my affliction. There's some humility there. Not pride. Because Job says, you know I'm righteous. He says, if I sin, you mark it. You punish me. He says, if I'm righteous, I'm still keeping my head down. I'm not going to shove it in your face, God. If I'm righteous, I'm just going to let it. I'm not worthy to look up at you. Oh, how many people do we have in this life, in this world of sin, that think that God owes them something? Oh, God owes us nothing. Our wages are death. But oh, make no mistake, God loves us very much. He loves us so much, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. But first, as Jesus came down here, He lived a perfect life. Then He died on the cross. And then He rose from the dead. So that any who would repent of their sin and give Him their life would have salvation in heaven forever. As you go through the chapter, Job asks, you know, why did you... Let's look at verse 18. Wherefore then have you brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost and know how I had seen me. He said, why was I even born? Why did you let me live? Oh, the Bible is filled with many people who were no stranger to suffering.